I'm your host, Pastor Shayo, with Michelle's husband.
And this is the place where we believe that all marriages have a chance to thrive and be long-lasting.
Oh, yeah. Every marriage has a chance to be awesome and to be fulfilling. And you can always find us on liveyourbestmarriage.com, or you can always find us on Facebook/liveyourbestmarriage.
That's right. And we always like to encourage couples to have that it's us against the world sort of mentality. And it really, really, really has helped Pesa and I. We've been together for 13 years and we have 4 children. And so we know just as much as anyone else how easy it is to let everyday life just come between the two of you and things get tough. But we want to encourage everybody to just keep going forward.
Oh, yeah. Keep going forward. And your marriage might not meet your expectations that you had when you started, but there's always a chance for it to be awesome, fulfilling, and actually become better than what you ever dreamed of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is true.
So what are we talking about today, Whitney?
So today I wanted to talk about the 5 ways to know an emotional affair is starting.
And what's an emotional affair?
So an emotional affair happens when someone who's married starts to make a strong connection with a friend of theirs. And it's actually something that can creep up very easily without us even realizing it completely.
So what's the difference between having friends and having an emotional affair?
So what sets an emotional affair apart is there are things that you say and do to one specific person. It's someone who is more special than anyone else. That's what makes the difference between just having a bunch of friends of the opposite sex and then actually having an emotional affair.
So, quick question. Mm-hmm. Can you have a best friend who is not your spouse?
Of the opposite sex?
Opposite sex, same sex, whatever. Can you have a best friend who is not your spouse?
It's okay to have a best friend. So, we'll just go ahead and get into what makes it qualify as an emotional affair.
So what makes it qualified?
All right. So the first thing I wanted to get into is everybody gets the joke except for your spouse.
What?
So what I mean by that is if there's a certain friend or colleague or coworker of the opposite sex that your other teammates are noticing you have a special chemistry with, there's definitely a problem.
Yeah.
There's playing footsie and flirting on the job. Of course, your spouse is not there seeing this. And it's actually the beginning of a very dangerous game because if you know that you're saying and doing things that you definitely would not if your spouse was in the room, that's a big clue.
Okay.
So as people are laughing and egging this on, the person that you made a lifetime promise to is usually the last to know.
Oh, because it's literally a secret.
Yeah, it's a secret, but the people that you work around, usually they can see this. They notice.
So they know there's something going on, but your spouse doesn't.
Right. I mean, they can see that, okay, you're becoming very, very, very good friends with this particular person. And there's a meeting that Pesa and I go to, and it's a business meeting. And one day Pesa came home and told me that there was a guy and a lady who everybody knows they have a chemistry with one another, but they're each married to someone else. And he came home and told me that the guy gave the lady a piggyback ride before the meeting started. And so this was ha ha ha, funny, funny at this meeting, but I felt kind of bad because I was like, okay, her husband has no clue that that happened, and this guy's wife has no idea that this was happening. So although they were not officially, no one would say, like, okay, they're cheating, that that's a full-blown affair, that was definitely a boundary issue. Lines were crossed.
Lines were crossed.
And it was, I mean, it's not appropriate, honestly.
And it's like, maybe it's a start of a slippery slope.
Exactly. I mean, they're doing things that are putting them on a path to an emotional affair. That's for sure. Because these two individuals are known in our group for being really, really, really close friends. So things like that.
Now, what if they are close friends and they're also, it's like a couple friend. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Like two couples, mm-hmm. maybe they were friends even before they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're friends after they got married. Are we, does that mean that they're having an emotional affair? Or we will also still go and look at, are their secrets being kept?
It's just, it doesn't really matter who was friends with who,
mm-hmm.
when, mm-hmm. or it's just there are certain behaviors.
Behaviors, or are we keeping secrets?
There's, so the second way to know is if you delete or hide text messages and emails.
Okay.
To and from a specific person. So if the messages are just too much,
mm-hmm.
and you know that you would not want your spouse to read it,
mm-hmm.
then, and you delete, then you know that's, you might not be coming out and saying, I love you,
mm-hmm.
but definitely if it's something that you know would make your spouse upset if they read it.
So you are just keeping secrets.
Yeah, you're keeping it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Then that for sure is a slippery slope.
Slippery slope that can actually... Because so is that an emotional affair, or it can lead to an emotional affair?
These are five ways to know that you're on your way to it. Like
on your way, started. So you are not there yet.
You're not quite there yet, but if the topic of the conversation is just way too personal,
mm-hmm.
and you have to keep it a secret because you know that your spouse would think it's inappropriate,
mm-hmm.
then you know that's a sign.
That it's an emotional affair.
Yeah, yes. It's either started or you're close to it.
Okay.
The third way is you do activities exclusively with this one person.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you go out to lunch with this one person.
Okay.
So there are specific things that you do exclusively with one person.
Okay.
So, for example, think of if you're in a work situation and you're just going to lunch with a group of people.
Okay.
Or you go on break and you just sit in the break room and you have your lunch and it doesn't matter. Like, whoever can mm-hmm. be in there. But an emotional affair, or at least getting close to one, is when you wait for your break at a specific time mm-hmm. so that you can go with this one person.
Okay.
So that the two of you are off at the same time and you can sit and talk. Or maybe you go and you buy their favorite soda from the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sit and wait for them and then you have your break. That definitely is putting you on a very, very slippery slope towards an emotional affair. Because it's something special that you're doing with a specific person. So, again, this is not, we're not talking about, oh, I just went out to lunch with a group of coworkers, or, no. oh, I was sitting in the break room on Monday and someone just happened to be on their break at the same time.
And we talked,
but it only happened one time. No. This is like you've set up a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And you have patterns, and you have developed a habit of doing things with this one person.
And you know, that is actually very interesting, mm-hmm. because I had one time on the radio, mm-hmm. where they were talking about pastors and just, mm-hmm. some of these things going on at church.
Okay.
And I don't know who this guy was, uh-huh. but he was talking on the radio, and he's like, actually, what they are having to deal with in churches all, mm-hmm. across the country is, yes. people who volunteer in churches or church activities, but they are doing it with somebody else. It's like a special relationship that they can... So they are looking forward to volunteer, not so much about volunteering,
right.
but because that special someone will be there and they can actually do this activity together.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts as only this person does. So like you have a shared interest.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you guys serve at the soup kitchen or you guys do something at church.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it takes over from there. And after a while, you are not looking forward to going and serving, to doing the activity. Basically, what you're doing is you're looking forward to go and see that person.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So you are looking forward to collaborate on something,
mm-hmm.
collaborate with someone specific on a project, and it's usually ongoing. This is, yeah. not like, okay, I'm working on a certain community project that's going to take a month or 2 months, yeah. and then after that I'm done. No, it's like over a period of time, you get into the habit of, you actually look forward to seeing this person, and you, yeah. look forward to doing things with them.
Yes.
Again, the main point we're trying to emphasize here is it's one person in particular who has more priority over others.
Yes. And you're actually feeling that there's a feeling you get, mm-hmm. when you think about doing an activity, right. with that one person. And then, right. the same guy on the radio was talking about the issue where, like, a doctor and the assistant,
mm-hmm.
and they are having an emotional relationship, because over a while, the doctor gets to depend on their assistant for everything, which is, okay, whatever. But what he was saying was, this guy now looks forward to spending more time with the assistant than
the wife, right.
because the assistant really understands,
yeah.
their interest. Maybe the both of them care about patients.
Right.
Both of them can speak a specific language, and both of them really care about getting the quote-unquote work done.
Mm-hmm.
So after a while, it becomes, he looks forward to seeing her,
yes.
the assistant, than,
yes.
Seeing the wife.
Right. So it really becomes an issue when you spend more time with this person than with your spouse. And some people even get to the point where they dress up for this person.
Yes.
They get really excited about seeing,
yeah, them. There's a feeling you get, mm-hmm. that you're going to see them.
Yes.
You're like literally putting all your ducks in a row before you go and see them.
Yeah.
So they take more precedence over the activity. The activity is not as important as when you see them.
Yes. So, and then the fourth thing is they tell you personal info that they haven't even told their spouse, or vice versa. So, when it comes to sharing personal information, that is something very special that a husband and wife are supposed to do.
And when you say personal information, what do you mean?
So it could be just opening up your heart and telling specific information to someone. I don't know whether it's a a problem you're having or your dreams, your hopes, your desires, those types of things. If you're only telling this person, again, there's a difference between a blabbermouth who just shows up for work and they tell everybody their problems. Then they complain about their spouse and they just go around. I mean, they tell everybody the same stories over and over again. Every time a new person walks in the room, they have to repeat the story.
Oh, yes, I know those people. Those people,
they just constantly air their dirty laundry. So what makes the difference between that and this is they're only telling this person. They're not telling everybody else, and they haven't even told their spouse. But they're telling this person.
About their dreams.
Yeah, or if there's an issue going on in their life, some problem they're having. So that makes this person more special than everyone else. And actually, I mean, in a weird way, it's making them more special than the person they're married to, because they're leaving their spouse out of this information.
Okay.
So that is a huge, huge problem. So another huge issue that comes from this is when someone starts confiding in them
about their spouse.
Right. Mm-hmm. If they start saying negative things or about their spouse, or if they start talking to this person about problems that they're having in their marriage, that is a huge, huge no-no, because it tells this other person, like, okay, number one, hey, this couple has issues, and this is like a chance for me to make my move. You know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
because you're basically giving them a script on the things that you think there's a problem and things that you think should be solved. So all they need to do is just say, I can solve that.
Absolutely. They can start doing those things for you. Or even just the fact that they know you're having so many problems. That's an issue. They know, like, okay, this couple is not strong.
Yes.
This marriage is not strong. So there's a huge opportunity for me to kind of move in and take over, you know?
Yes.
I mean, so, because again, these things happen. You might just think, oh, I'm just living my life.
Yes.
But in a way, you've actually been moving closer to someone without even knowing it. And so that's what sucks about it, is when we don't even realize that we had our guard down and we've been crossing boundaries without even knowing.
I mean, without even knowing. But when you are lowering your guard down, you thought you were just talking.
Exactly.
So you're like, oh, we're hanging out after break. We're during break time. Oh, we are just hanging out at the parking lot before we go home. We are just squeezing one more story before we start driving. But you don't know how. Or I'm just texting or calling them on our way home.
Yeah, and you never know, every time you send a text message, you never know how this other person takes it.
Yes.
You might just be saying, I love working with you, or whatever it is, whatever. You might just be giving them a compliment, but this other person takes it as, hey, she likes me, or he's into me. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you know what I mean? Like that sort of thing. So you just don't know how they're interpreting that, and then again, you unknowingly just keep moving closer and closer towards this person, and then there's more distance between you and your spouse. And so that's what makes it a really tough thing to deal with, because it can happen so fast. So the fifth thing is making comparisons and putting your spouse down. So if you find yourself admiring this one specific person and you start to actually compare and contrast your spouse to whoever that is.
Okay.
Whether it be physically, like, oh, I wish my wife would fix her hair like that. That's an example. Or, oh, I wish my husband would dress like him.
Oh, I wish my husband would, I wish my wife would go running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish my wife worked out, kept her figure, like, stayed in shape like that lady does. Or I wish my husband cooked meals like the way he does at his house. So you admire this person and you actually start to wish that your spouse could be more like that him. Person. Yeah, so again, this is not like the difference is, again, I wish they were more like him. Or I wish they were more like her specifically. That's what makes it so dangerous. Mm-hmm. Is there's someone in particular that you're admiring, and if you actually start to put your spouse down, like, oh my gosh, why can't you be more? Why can't you just be more this or more that, more understanding? Or I wish he was as intelligent as so-and-so.
Oh, yeah.
So-and-so is just highly respected, more sophisticated, all those types of things. So those are the things that can put your relationship on a downhill trajectory. And again, these things happen very fast.
Yes.
So that's the problem.
So the comparing... Just comparing your spouse to the other guy or the other girl can lead you to start having an emotional affair.
Yeah, and so the key is for us to be able to make a distinction. There's nothing wrong with having respect for a colleague. Like, oh, so-and-so has done very well with their business. Or so-and-so does whatever their quality is that you admire. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with looking up to someone. But when it reaches that point of she's hot and my wife isn't, or he's more buff than my husband, or like those types of things, that is what creates a huge problem, because it makes us forget that the person we married is the most important person in the world for us.
Yes.
Does that, I don't know if that,
yeah, it does.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
The most important person in the world for us. And that's why we chose them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. We chose them. Mm-hmm. And so what we can do to safeguard is just avoid getting too close to other people, but also don't let someone else who's less informed come between you and your spouse. So you are hearing this information, you're learning about boundaries, but that doesn't mean that all of your coworkers know about boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
So some lady you work with or some guy you work with might just come up to you and start just dumping all of their marital problems on you. They might just think they're talking.
Mm-hmm.
They're just having a conversation. They're going to tell you all the stuff their husband did that made them so mad. And so, but what they're doing is they're actually crossing a line.
Yes.
They're actually invading your boundaries, and they obviously don't have any for themselves.
Yes.
So don't allow someone who is clueless to just come and start invading your space. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And so I guess the whole point of this is there is a special bond that husbands and wives share.
Yes.
Exclusively between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So what an emotional affair does is you start building a bond with someone who really was just an acquaintance.
Yeah.
And then they upgraded very quickly to a friend, and then now they're more than a friend.
And do you think there's certain times in our marriage that we are more vulnerable to having these emotional affairs?
I do. I think that, again, if we're not very good at keeping boundaries, it's always an issue. But I also think that if things are rocky at home, if things mm-hmm. are not going well with our spouse, we're more likely to be drawn to other people. We're more likely to start looking elsewhere.
Because of the...
If your emotional needs are not met at home, mm-hmm. you're more likely to go and look for that somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah. You're more likely to be attracted to someone who will meet those needs, or someone who you think would meet those needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't mean they will. But, yeah, I think there are definitely things that make us more susceptible at different times to mm-hmm. these types of things. So, again, it's good just to keep boundaries, because even something as simple as sending a text message or an email to a colleague or a coworker, if it's too personal, it can be taken the wrong way.
Yes.
They might take it as you have a thing for them. I mean, it might sound weird,
mm-hmm.
but again, these things do develop quite rapidly.
Yeah.
So.
And also something I wanted to add mm-hmm. to it is if you're doing a project with somebody, like this long project that maybe you and them really understand it,
mm-hmm.
and it's like something that you have a really special interest, it's a little niche interest mm-hmm. on that project,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you're flying and traveling together,
mm-hmm.
Just the two of you,
mm-hmm.
that can actually lead
mm-hmm.
to an emotional affair.
Yes.
Because maybe your spouse is at home
mm-hmm.
and doesn't really understand the ins and outs of mm-hmm. this engineering or mm-hmm. medical
mm-hmm.
device that you guys are selling mm-hmm. or developing, and you're maybe flying to conferences all over the country,
yep.
trying to get this thing sold. And
mm-hmm.
after a while, you guys start developing some battle stories
mm-hmm.
because you guys have gone through the ringer together.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have gone through the struggle together.
Yep.
And some of these things your wife or your spouse doesn't have,
mm-hmm.
Doesn't really know what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you had talked about, so they don't get the joke.
Right.
They don't have the experience. They don't know what happened when you guys got stopped by the cops or when you guys missed a flight.
Mm-hmm.
You were there with her or with him. And after a while, you guys just develop like this bond that mm-hmm. Your spouse who was at home, maybe with the kids or whatever, just wasn't there.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep, absolutely. And I've seen colleagues who they like to sign up for 5Ks
mm-hmm.
together. Again, they're opposite sex friends and they're both married to other people, but their spouses have no interest
yeah.
in running.
Mm-hmm.
They don't devote a lot of time to these charitable causes for the 5Ks and the fundraising and all of that, but these two really love it. It's something mm-hmm. they're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they would say that we just like running mm-hmm. and we just happen to know each other and we sign up together. But the point that I want to make is that does that bring you closer to the person you married?
No.
It doesn't. I mean, to be honest with you, it does not.
No, it doesn't. And especially the problem comes when you're not just looking forward for a 5K. Mm-hmm. You are looking forward to run with her in a 5K.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes. So it's like, oh my God, if she's not signing up, mm-hmm. I'm not going.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I can't wait for us to go for another race because she'll be there. It's not a, mm-hmm. so it's not, everything changes from I am racing to I am racing with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I read an article the other day that a guy really likes working out at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a friend who's a lady who also loves working out at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, not so much, and her husband, not so much. But they go to the gym together. So I was thinking, okay, are people really going to be surprised when something happens between the two of them?
No. No. But they'll say that... they are more suited because they are more connected because they have the same interests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go. So folks, just to recap, there are certain feelings and words and situations that really should stay exclusively between the married couple, not friends, acquaintances, not that one coworker, whoever. So we just want to encourage you guys to keep good boundaries and don't let other people cross the line.
Yes, and folks, we love your comments, and also we love you to subscribe to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast on iTunes. So if you head over to iTunes and hit subscribe so that you can never so you don't miss any of our podcasts, and just keep your marriage strong and invest in your marriage. So folks, until next time, bye and God bless.
Are you tired of being upset, lonely, feeling empty, or just plain frustrated with your marriage? And no matter how hard you try, you're not getting anywhere, just going in circles? No matter how much you try to make time for one another in your schedule, or how many times you say, I'm sorry, Pesa and I have put together 99 ideas to help you connect with that one special person so that things can start to be more like the way they were before everyday life got in the way and caused the two of you to drift apart. We want you to have 99 ways to show love to your spouse absolutely free. You can find it at 99waystoshowlovetoyourspouse.com. Because here at Live Your Best Marriage, we truly hope that the two of you can move closer together and enjoy the connection that comes from achieving a stronger bond. Again, that's 99waystoshowlovetoyourspouse.com. That's the number 99waystoshowlovetoyourspouse.com.